Today on the Dark Side of Police in the Gabby Petito case, confused Brian Landry's mother for him in a search, according to a spokesman. Three teens arrested for allegedly fatally stabbing a classmate with a sword over an argument on a girl. And a Kansas City landlord accused of stabbing tenant to death over a heating complaint. Yes, that and much more today on the Dark Side of...
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of...
That it is. And yeah, still lots of interesting things for us to discuss today, including the latest in the Gabby Petito, Brian Landry case, and a whole lot of other crazy things. I just actually added that into the show at the very last minute. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become a supporter, a Dark Sider at Patreon. Go to get the Patreon app or go to patreon.com, search Dark Side of, or go to darksidepod.com. It'll take you there as well and get access to all of our advanced episodes, all of it ad-free, as well as a whole bunch of other extras for you as well when you become a Darksider at patreon.com or the app. Just search for Darkside Up. It's Tony and Sean with you on today's episode of the program. So last week, we were just getting into the moments where they were supposedly discovering a body that they didn't know whose it was quite yet, and the parents were out there, and then moments later after we got off the air, they identified it as Brian Landry, and I talked about that in another episode with Carol the following day. But yeah, there's still a lot of weird pieces to this puzzle I think they're trying to put together now with in terms of what was said to the parents or the parents said to the police, and I think it's kind of getting down to who knew what when.
So much to unload. I'm not sure what you and the other cast member of the Dark Side have chatted about, but for me, upon him dying or them confirming he had died, mm-hmm. for me, I kind of checked out because there's going to be so much conjecture and yeah. conspiracy theories and this, that, or the other. Basically, for me, the way my brain works is you're so obsessed and private investigator yourself when this hunt is on and trying to connect the dots. Once there's that confirmation that he was found or she was found, and in this case, not alive, my brain kind of goes away. And then in maybe 3, 4, 5 months, when the actual private investigators / FBI / professionals put everything together, then I'll go back and... with factual information of actually what was proven scientifically to then kind of re-engage that adrenaline and excitement of finding out what happened.
You can posthumously charge someone with murder, can't you? But is there a trial when that sort of thing happens? Or is it just like you're charged and just believed to be guilty?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's for the... to be as humane as you can in, for example, Gabby's family, where you don't want to stretch this out and have it be a media event. I'm trying to think as far as folks that who are not alive that were charged with that. That's a good question. But to my knowledge, yes, you can. And I think in lieu of the victim's family, you don't want to make a big spectacle out of it. You try to take care of it as quietly or and as efficiently as you can.
I would imagine that there'll end up being a civil case brought against the other Landry family or the Landry family from the Petito family at some point here, showing something of them deceit, not sharing information. I don't know. There'll be something, I think, that they're going to try to go after them with civilly.
I think, and that's a very good point there. I don't think there'll be so much in the court of law. But the Landry family will be giving a shit ton of money to someone or someone.
I think it'll be a civil case and it'll go down to what they did in the days after in terms of not cooperating and not, you know, helping things along in a positive way. Police in Florida mistook Brian Landry's mother for him while surveilling the family's home after the disappearance of his fiance, Gabby Petito, an agency spokesman said Monday, acknowledging a misstep in the investigation days after Landry's remains were found. Josh Taylor, a spokesman for the police department in Northport, Florida, told Wink News that investigators monitoring the home confused a baseball cap-wearing Roberta Landry for her 23-year-old son, he said. The kind of built similarly, Taylor told the television station. He added, no case is perfect. Skeletal remains identified as Landry's were found October 20th in Florida's Carlton Reserve, marking the end of a month-long manhunt. His parents reported him missing September 17th after he was named a person of interest in his fiance's disappearance, but before her body was found last month. No one has been charged in Petito's death, which was ruled a homicide by strangulation. Landry was separately indicted by a grand jury on charges related to his activities following his fiance's death. It's unclear how the investigation will proceed after his remains were found in the Carlton Reserve, roughly a 25,000-acre wetland area in Sarasota County. Taylor did not immediately respond to a request for comment on Tuesday. The mid-September revelation that Landry was also missing added another twist to a case that captured widespread public interest and raised questions about how he slipped away on law enforcement's watch. Taylor told Wink that Northport police began watching the Landry home after Petito's family reported her missing on September 11th. Days early, Landry had returned from the couple's cross-country road trip without her. Landry refused to speak to police, but authorities kept watch via cameras, according to Wink. On September 13th, investigators saw him drive away in his Mustang. The station reported 2 days later, the Mustang returned and police thought that we had seen Brian come back to the home, Taylor said. With public pressure mounting, Northport Police Chief Todd Garrison insisted during a September 16th news conference that officers knew Landry's whereabouts. All I'm going to say is we know where Brian Landry is at, he said. When his parents reported him missing the next day, Taylor said, that was certainly news to us. He said just how he believes the person they saw leaving the car in a baseball cap was Roberta Landry. They had returned from the park with that Mustang, Taylor told Wink. So who does that, right? Like, if you think your son's missing since Tuesday, you're going to bring his car back to the home? So it didn't make sense that anyone would do that if he wasn't there. So the individual getting out with the baseball cap, we thought was Brian. The couple had embarked on a trip through national parks in a converted van, documenting their travels through rosy photos posted to social media. This is an interesting, weird piece of this puzzle. Because, okay, so he goes out to the nature reserve with this car. He doesn't come back. But mom and dad go pick up the car and bring it back to the house?
This totally makes sense, Tony. I don't know what you're talking about. Last time I went on a hike, at a mountain. My dad flew out to Colorado, and he took my Volkswagen rental back to the airport so I didn't get late fees, and it was all good.
And next day, they reported you missing. Yeah, I mean, it's just... this is sick and weird, but like, did they know he was going to go kill himself and just kind of let it happen?
Well,
that's what I wonder. They're just like, well, you know, go do it.
In theory, he could have. I mean, again, these are one of many ways this could have unfolded. He could have gotten home. He could have told his parents, "Hi, not as bluntly or simplistically, but I killed her. I'm gonna go for a walk." And again, we're talking about, as we did last week, the parents raised this child. So yeah, there's a little bit of them in him. And maybe Roberta and Carl, what's Mr. Landry's name? Anywho, they may have had a talk where it's like, here's the deal. He's probably going to, So let's go. Which, interesting, were the keys under the floor mat? Did he leave the keys in the car? Did they have a coffee with Brian and being like, oh, you've yet to? Cool. Well, before you go, hop in that water and die. Can you leave the fob?
I know.
Because we want to, I mean, it is a Mustang. So, fuck, pre-owned vehicles right now are going for, $4,000 to $6,000 above, pre-pandemic.
Like, was this like the conversation at the breakfast table?
You go die, CarMax is going to give us a great offer on this late model Ford.
It's what I'm wondering, because it's like, if your child is missing, you're like, let's go pick up the car.
I would be hunting that fucking
that's
swamp.
That's the first thing I think of.
Get the car.
Got to use that. I mean, I am paying $21.99 for unlimited washes at Mr. Wash. So, It rained last week.
Got to take advantage of it.
It just, Brian.
Oh. It makes me wonder if, like, the whole family is just one large group of narcissists that are just so fucking out there. I don't know. But it's just, like, what is the logic on some of these moves? Because they're just so fucked up. It's like, what's the opposite of the thing you should do right now? Let's go do it, hon. Okay, great.
All too often realize, there isn't logic.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, yet people do it.
They don't follow it very often anymore, and that's why you have this show. Three teens arrested for allegedly fatally stabbing a classmate with a sword in an argument over a girl. Who hasn't gotten into a sword fight once or twice?
Tuesday, actually.
Yeah, I mean... Three teens were arrested over the weekend for allegedly killing a classmate who had sex with a suspect's ex-girlfriend. This is from True Crime Daily. Dwight DJ Grant's body was discovered in the bushes near his apartment complex October 19th, the South Florida Sun Sentinel reports. The mother reported him missing October 17th and did not show up to school the next day. The 16-year-old girl, 17-year-old girl, and 17-year-old boy were all arrested and charged with first-degree murder, tampering with evidence, and criminal conspiracy. The male suspect was reportedly upset Grant had sex with the suspect's ex-girlfriend. The 17-year-old female is reportedly the suspect's current girlfriend, and the 16-year-old is her friend, WPLG-TV reports. According to WPLG, the 16-year-old female suspect reportedly told detectives the male suspect stabbed Grant with a knife in the neck and then used a sword to stab him in the chest. The arrest warrant reportedly cites text messages between the male suspect and his girlfriend, as well as the male suspect and his ex-girlfriend, WPLG reports. He allegedly wrote to his current girlfriend, "Murder will happen soon, and help me kill him." The suspect also said he believed the attack would be bloody. On October 11th, the male suspect allegedly texted his ex-girlfriend saying he had plans for this person, referring to Grant. The suspect allegedly added, if he made you happy, get used to him not being here anymore. According to NBC Miami, the male suspect reportedly reached out to the 16-year-old female because he wanted her help in fighting Grant. The male suspect claimed Grant raped his ex-girlfriend. NBC Miami reports the ex-girlfriend told detectives she and Grant had a consensual relationship. NBC Miami reports parts of the attack were caught in Grant's apartment complex surveillance footage. Cameras reportedly caught the teens walking into the building, stabbing him in the stairwell, and throwing Grant's body over a railing. The teens allegedly hoped to start a bonfire to burn their clothing, but were prevented from doing so by a security guard. Miramar High School principal Mia Formoso tweeted October 19th, "May our forever patriot rest in peace. Please pray for Dwight Grant's family and friends of the community." The South Florida Sun Sentinel reports that these suspects are being held at the Broward County Juvenile Assessment Center. The next court date is scheduled for November 4th. So, there you go. I mean, I there's a lot of dumb things that teens do. This would certainly qualify as one of them. But also, like, what the fuck? You're throwing him off the balcony? Like, what is this? Like, fucking James Bond? Like, what the fuck are you thinking?
You know, the bar continues to set itself higher and higher by the week. It's pretty tough to top, yet they continue to.
I don't know what to say to that. I mean, it's just, it constantly gets crazier and crazier. I'm kind of surprised in the 90s there wasn't more deaths by sword. Because remember, there'd always be like that place in the mall that sold a lot of like hemp, like necklaces and stuff. And then on one wall there was like 40 swords. It's like, what the fuck needs a sword? But there'd always be
about Spencer's Hot Topic.
It was just like, there was usually like an independent store in every mall that kind of had this stuff going on. It was weird because it'd go from like kind of a hippie-ish type store to like, we also have swords, samurai swords to be exact.
It's like
printers, hemp, and swords.
It's like, why are you doing swords over it? It's like, they sell. And there was people always collecting. I remember, like, there was a lot of people back then that, like, had a sword on their wall. It's like, what the fuck? So I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been more sword murders with all of the swords that were out there, with people who probably shouldn't have swords.
You know, it's interesting because the amount of sword-related deaths low, but honestly, we're talking about the 90s where there's not as much coverage. Everybody doesn't have a personal camera in their pocket.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, there may have been a lot higher amount of sword-related deaths than you're aware of. And
I think if we jump into the old Associated Press archives of every jurisdiction in the country, you'd end up finding a lot more sword deaths at that point in time.
Can go to the library, and it was the machine where you could look at old newspaper articles under the microscope.
Yep, microfilm.
That's what it's called.
Yep. And you had to know what you were looking for in the date, and you basically just, you found the newspaper, and then you had to go through that newspaper and search yourself. There was no, like, let's type in the keywords. And you can still do that. There's still a lot of newspapers that are like that. A lot of libraries are starting to convert those over digitally, which I think is really cool, because now there's places where you can go look at really old newspapers online and search them digitally for specific keywords, and you can pull up some really interesting articles of things that, you know, perspectives on stories as they were happening that may not be how everything, you know, fully turned out, but what were we thinking at a specific time in a specific case. It's interesting.
The library, everything coming back retro and what is old is new again. Take stock in your local library. Mm-hmm. It's going to be exploding soon. Library is, and I'm not even being funny, library is a cool place.
I like the library. Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, Amazon and this and that, and I don't want to leave my house. And I open the door and there's a box and all the information. Well, guess what? Remember when you actually had to have a stranger ask to take a picture of you and your friend at the zoo? And you can almost reignite when we're searching for a new hobby, or we're bored, or we're depressed, or all these things. Go to the library. Now, understanding you want to wear a mask, or again, that's a whole different thing in and of itself. But libraries are open. There's a shit ton of information, and go and explore it.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think it's it's a great place. It's a place I had a lot of happy childhood memories, was wandering around the library. It's an experience that I think
you like a book, you return it maybe a couple days late. They will literally ask you for a nickel. But then after they ask you for a nickel, they'll say, do you want to pay for it now? Or wait a minute. So I can literally have a monthly installment plan of my overdue book fee of a nickel?
Yeah, that's fine. Next time.
Yes, you can. That's okay. Fine. Yeah. All right. Have a good day. Don't forget to slide these books back and forth over this thing that looks like formica, because it's, you know. did you have that in your local library? Where they literally, the, you know, current day, if you buy a TV or electronics, the metal detector.
Yeah.
But there was something similar in a Beverly Cleary book.
Yes.
Remember that. What sensor is available in 1987?
There was something, and it was probably just like
just
a piece of aluminum. There was like a piece of aluminum or something in something. I remember that.
You're talking to a sixth grader who like looked at every, because on some of the books on the front, like there was almost a check in, check out of who rented this at what time. And but in the book, so you're saying in maybe like the, what is it, the spine of the book?
Where they put the cards. I remember at our library, there would be that place where you had like that checkout card, and it said like who's checked it out. Yeah. And
physically put the note card sized card into a little sleeve.
There was something there that was like magnetic, and that's what did that thing. I don't know what, but I remember too. I remember my library card also having a little, like, literally engraved piece of metal on it, and that's how they would scan it, almost like a credit card.
Makes sense. If you're 25 or younger listening to this, we are dinosaurs. That's okay. Yeah. Google it. It's fun.
And we had to go to a card catalog to find what we were looking for. I'd love to buy one of those for my house, because I think they're cool. I don't know what the hell I'd put in those tiny drawers, but I think they're cool. Family members devastated after a landlord is accused of killing a tenant over a heating complaint. This will make you pause. A Lanford man is facing charges after investigators say he stabbed a tenant to death over a heating complaint. This is according to KCTV5. Gordon McBeth is charged with second-degree murder and armed criminal action. Daryl Bent Gillard Jr.'s family members are devastated and in shock that the tenant's request could turn deadly. They say his fiancée tried to save him. He was Samantha's life, and Samantha was his life. They met and wanted to take care of her. Gillian's mother, Donna Groves, said he wanted to be the man of the house and take care of her, and that's our job now. Samantha Pullman says the horrific chain of events began after a chilly night inside the home the couple was renting. They had an agreement with their landlord that they would pay a lower amount of rent because they would help remodel the home. He just messaged him like, "Hey, can we please just do something about the heating situation?" Pullman says. She says they were cordial in their request. At first, the guy was perfectly nice about it. He was like, "Yeah, I'll come over and we'll do that." And then just out of nowhere, he completely flipped and acted like we were asking too much and being a complete burden, Pullman says. On Friday, October 22nd, around 3 p.m., witnesses said he heard Macbeth speeding in and driving erratically into the driveway. Pullman said Macbeth got out and threw insulation at her and said that it wasn't good enough. He would kill her fiancé. Investigators say Macbeth stabbed Gilland more than 30 times. "Over nothing," Groves said. "I'm still in shock. I can't believe it." During the attack, Pullman ran for help. Witnesses told police they heard a horrific screaming and came to help. One bystander told Macbeth at gunpoint until the officers arrived. "The neighbors are heroes," Groves said. "Sam's a hero." Pullman said he's grateful for those who held Macbeth until officers arrived. "I'm glad they caught him, but it doesn't make it hurt any less," Pullman said. Gillen's relatives are now forced to prepare the funeral. "That's my baby. My son was very gentle, loving, caring, and would do anything for anybody," Groves said. "He did not deserve this. No one deserves it, but he especially did not deserve this." Relatives said Gillen was very close to his grandparents, who are buried in Indiana. The family feels it's right to bring him back to Indiana to be laid to rest near his grandparents. Macbeth is currently held in $1 million bond. He entered a not guilty plea on a court Monday, and a bond reduction hearing is scheduled for November 2nd. So, yeah, be careful when you ask for help from the landlord.
You know, I've always wanted to really buy a place and not rent anymore. This kind of confirmed my, I'm going to get on that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you can just go do it yourself, you know, and fix the heat. Or because if you become a burden to somebody, they may just kill you.
I told you, fifth day of the month, rent's due, or else.
It's just...
Can I just pay, like, a $30 late rent fee? You're really going to take my life?
It's another one of those cases where you go, I hope drugs were involved, and this wasn't just the person just acting out on their own, you know? Without the assistance of some sort of narcotic or something that's, you know, driving them insane. Because it's just a scary thing to think that somebody's just like, fuck you, no heat. And they just stab you 30 times with other people watching.
Well, somebody is not allowed in the sword store anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's that's just disturbing. Continuing the theme of people using sharp objects, a wife dismembered her dead husband and then lived off of his Social Security benefits for years, according to prosecutors. So this was kind of a situation of, okay, you're dead. I'm sorry, honey, but I don't want to give up those checks. This is from KLAS in Las Vegas. A woman facing a Social Security fraud charge told investigators she dismembered her deceased husband and threw his remains in the trash. Prosecutors wrote in a federal court document obtained by the I-Team. That's what the TV station here calls themselves. So we'll do a lot of fun with I-Team. Maybe I have a little sound effects here. Hang on. Do that. Turn this up. There we go. I-Team. I think that sounds better, don't you?
Does it work on my end? Check one, two. Hey, 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 hey.
Down. Yep, there you go.
Coming up, an exclusive from News 4's I-Team.
The I-Team.
The I-Team.
Nancy Seldesky, 69, of Las Vegas, faces a charge of theft of government money, record show. According to court documents, Seldesky deposited her deceased husband's retirement benefits, which continued for more than 4 years after his death into her account. The total amount is estimated to be more than $120,000, court documents said. Prosecutors said the Social Security Administration was never made aware of her husband's 2015 death and continued to deposit the payments. The administration became aware of the deposits in 2019 of December after it received anonymous allegations that Sandusky's husband had disappeared, documents said. Investigators reviewed her husband's medical records, finding he stopped receiving care in 2015 at a hospital in Pennsylvania. In 2017, the address was changed from a home in Western Pennsylvania to an apartment complex in Las Vegas. Her address was not listed on the documents. In mid-2019, staff at the Las Vegas Social Security office attempted to contact Sandusky's husband, but there was no response. Sandusky later returned repeated messages saying she and her husband lived together in Las Vegas. In late 2019, investigators visited Sandusky's apartment. Her husband was not there, and she reportedly told investigators he was traveling the country. Later in the interview, she told investigators her husband had died in August 2015 in the basement of their previous home in Pennsylvania. She told investigators she dismembered his body, packaged up the pieces, threw them into the trash, court documents said. She called and reported to her family members that her husband had died. Investigators wrote in court documents, Sandusky confirmed there was no ambulance, no hospitalization, no funeral, no burial, and no cremation for her husband. If she had reported her husband's death, Sandusky would have been entitled to a monthly savior's benefit, or survivor's benefit, rather, officials say. A Las Vegas federal judge released Sandusky on bond on Monday. An email to her public defender was not returned. The I-Team reached out to police in Pennsylvania for more information and did not hear back Monday. The U.S. Attorney's Office would neither confirm nor deny any ongoing investigations. So she wanted just a little bit more than the survivor's benefits. So she cut up her husband. That takes someone special right there to be able to do that. I mean, whether she murdered him or not, either way, even if he just died of a heart attack or something and she wanted the money, I don't know how you go about doing something like that and not like be traumatized and end up just fucking crazy yourself. Maybe that's the thing.
Fascinating I-Team report there, Tony. Thanks for the details. 8-day forecast for the Tri-City. It's coming up. Good morning, Tacoma.
Coming up, we got some tips on how to grill better brats.
Pork or penis?
We'll find out what she did with her husband when the I-Team returns to investigate a little bit more.
Welcome back to the dip, you know, the 9 to 10 o'clock hour of local news where there's shit to talk about, but we want advertisers. Today, we're going to roll that perfect bratwurst. And we've realized that rather than taking all that sausage from those grass-fed cows and cattle, which are also the same thing as well as pigs, we're just going to, you know, cut off pre-made bratwursts, as we like to say. You know, parts of bodies that are already in a bratwurst shape.
And then coming up after that, Nancy Sandusky is going to join us. She's a woman whose husband passed away and she cut him up. We're going to review the latest in cutlery for the holidays with her. That's after your 5-day forecast.
Medium simmer, make a little olive oil at about 425. You can grill it out, but I wouldn't grill it out in too much of public because, well, members of the public will realize you're grilling penises of a recently missing body.
Now, remember, it does smell a little bit, but it's like a gamey smell. So if you're used to, doing venison, things like that, it's not that much different.
If you want a special holiday trend on it, you can call the party JD and Me. Of course, you mimicking your favorite dismemberer, Jeffrey Dahmer.
This is what morning news really, if morning news did this, I would watch it. I would be much
512.
More.
512. Let's go to the helicopter for our latest report. Ben, are you with us?
This is Ben.
Yeah,
hang Ben, on. I'm sorry we can't hear you. Is your mic on?
Hang on 1 second. We'll get Ben going on here. Hang on.
All right. Back to brats and cock in the kitchen.
Ben's having problems. He's getting into the copter right now.
Ben in the copter.
Ben, boy, it looks like a real parking lot over there on the Water Street Bridge. Give us the latest. Is there any water around that bridge?
It appears that over by the bridge, there's a great food truck. Have you seen them lately? It's called Vic's Donuts and More. What he does is he changes tires, but with every tire change, he gives you a donut that he actually made in the trailer with his greasy hands. So you get the donut and you get the tire change. It's amazing. I know it's not what you asked me, but that's what we do here. We just kind of talk about random shit for an hour because we want to get those advertisers on the air for an hour of television and an hour of your life you'll never get back from 9 to 10 weekdays on CBS 5.
Thanks, Ben. That, of course, brought to you by Leaf Gutter. Leaf Gutter, because you're a lazy fuck and you don't want to clean leaves yourselves out of your gutter. Leaf Gutter. All right. Coming up, oh, I'm sorry. We're just told Ben is no longer with us. Let's go back. Jeff Johnson live on the scene of a news helicopter falling into the river. Jeremiah, what's the latest?
That's right. It was a wacky chase, but he's gone now. We all loved him for that one time he was here giving us those traffic reports for the last 30 years. But then he crashed into the side of a large brick wall while trying to tell us about the food truck that I guess they have donuts or something. Like, there's donuts over there, from what I understand. Anyway, may he rest in peace. And by the way, his job is now open, so in case you'd like to apply, please send your resumes to...
Thank you, Jeremiah. That report brought to you by Carpet Medics. When there's a real 911 in your living room, call Carpet Medics.
Here's a fun little tidbit there on that. We actually know somebody who there was a death at a radio station recently. And this is just how classy fucking radio is these days. That person dies. And in the same fucking obituary, the head of the company wanted to put in there, oh, and by the way, we're hiring for his position.
So the way this works, if you're not in the radio world, you have any company that you want to work for.
Yeah.
You go to the company's website, you go under employment opportunities, careers, etc.
Yeah.
Perhaps a bit more formal. So you have to resume all this out of the other. In the broadcasting world, radio, TV, and maybe even sports to a certain extent, there are... it's a little bit more informal. Job postings don't have to go through corporate and this, that, or the other. It can just be posted.
Yeah.
And as Tony said, there was essentially an obituary of even if the person was a dick, the person died.
Yeah.
And it was...
send resumes.
Something with cancer, what have you. And then the next paragraph... And I don't know what the person's name. We'll call them Bill.
Yeah.
The quote from higher up in the company.
Yeah.
As Bill would like to let you know.
Yeah.
So there's a new job opening.
The corpse. The guy who's literally not even buried yet. He'd like you to know.
The dead guy would love it if we let you know that we're looking for a new dead guy.
I fucking love it. It's just, there's never like a bar low enough for so many of these people. It's like, really? We're doing this now and this is being normalized. This is okay. Well, you know, he would have. No, I don't think, even if you think he would have wanted it, probably shouldn't.
Even if he did want it, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah. It's, he just
literally, kinda, if he's recorded in saying, if this, do that, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because his wife or his parents or his kids or his friends wouldn't maybe appreciate that, and or professional colleagues amidst the industry.
No, it was fucking hilarious. Horrible and hilarious. And there was an uproar amongst people just saying, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, why would you? And then, anyway.
If you're wondering, nothing occurred to this guy. No reprimand, no nothing.
No.
He still has his job.
Of course not. It was really kind of par for the course for his personality to having known him, but I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised at the same time. All right, that's going to wrap up the show. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become a supporter of ours, a Darksider. Go to darksidepod.com or download the Patreon app and look for Dark Side Of and find us there. $5 a month gets you access to advanced episodes, all of it commercial free, so you can binge away with no ads, exclusive bonus extras, a lot of great stuff there to help support the show and keep us going. We do appreciate that. Patreon.com/darksideof. Or go to darksidepod.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side Of.